Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Profiles. I'm Paula Schiller, and this is the conclusion of our series with Della Keats, a traditional healer from Kotzebue. She is not, as she puts it, a superstition doctor, a witch doctor, or a medicine woman. She works from her own experience in examining how the human body works. MDs encourage and support her methods, and she knows when to tell people they need to go to the doctor. Della also tends to the spiritual needs of people, something she also learned from her own experience. She travels throughout the Arctic, caring for the people, their bodies, and their minds.
And I have a lot of people, even the teachers, troopers, white men. The last year, one time, they called me from Sungnak, and I didn't get who he was. So then they called emergency, so I have to go. Manilak taking care of my transportation. And when I got in, I tried to find out who was calling, so that was a principal teacher's wife. She was a teacher, and she was laying real bad, sprained back. After I work on her, like the way I do, doing to myself, and when she get up right away and start making me tea. And she said, she had this for a long time while she was down at the States. She go to the doctors, many doctors, any places. Her sprained back never get good. So she said, she find the best doctor in the world when she get up right away. That's what she told me.
But do you think of yourself as a doctor?
Yeah, they call me doctor right now. Dr. Della Keats. They start calling me doctor.
Do you like that?
A lot of people. In the first place, when they call me, when I read the papers, when they write it down like medicine Dr. Della Keats, I was felt funny. Because when I was a girl, we used to call superstition doctor, doc medicine man. So they write it down, medicine doctor, medicine Della. And I get used to it. I never felt funny. I have no superstition way to help people, like, you know. I don't have any superstition, but I have a faith and hope to my good Lord.
Do people call you for spiritual illness too?
Spiritual illness?
Yeah,
some people I used to help them and teach them how to, you know. The ones that bad remembrance, out of mind people. And I always pray for them and tell them. And even the people that felt ghost around in the house, when they called me, when I knew them, when I prayed for them, that ghost never come back no more. It's why remembrance to our good Lord is a good. You, whenever you get into, you know, terrible problems, or when you get scared or something, when you remember the good Lord, it always helps. And when you lose your friends, when you're in bad, groaning, you know, sorrowful, when you call for help, it always helps. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm the only one left in my whole family. I mean, from my parents. I lost all my parents gone, and all my brothers and sisters gone, and I'm the only left. Seven of us.
But you're not sad. You're not a sad person.
Yeah. I know one time, my two sisters, my older sister and my younger sister, 1 week apart, they died. All right. I can't do it. I have no way to help. Only I have to be happy, try to be happy myself.
And you help other people be happy.
Yeah, try to let other people happy. Happy is a good medicine, you know. Exercise is a good medicine. Just happy all the time is good.
Is it hard for you to be happy?
Well, it is when you learn you could stand it. In first place, when you first had it, it kind of bad, all right. But what you could stand it later on.
Do the young people come to you and ask you to teach them?
They never ask to learn what I did. But I asked and talked about it, that if I have no one teaching the way I always work, if somebody don't know my work, the way I always work will last. So then I wanted to teach somebody. Mm-hmm. And I pick out one lady from Norwich, and I teach not quite 1 year. And she learned most of it. She have good hands like me. And one lady from Point Hope last year, 1 year, I teaching her. Let her follow me when I go different places, try to find out strange problem. Sometimes same problem, all right, but any kind of problems. I teaching her this. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing I was worried about, that she can't read and she can't write. But she get nervous, but she can't get nervous.
No.
She's a good. And she was helping the people by her own too. Try to help the people. People always come and get her when they are joints, mm-hmm, on their body or checking.
But
and I teach her anyway, when Manila want me to. And right now there's an elderly woman that helped me right now at home. She's working. And she's a good helper too. She's just starting out from October. I don't know how she will getting along. But she's old anyway.
No young people.
These two young adults. Not real old, young ladies, okay. But they have children.
Can you anybody learn, or do you have to have a special?
Right now, whenever they call me to teach the health aids and alternates, I teach them. Kotzebue area, Nome area. I just came from Nome, teaching the AIDS, health aids down there. Work at the hospital and in town. I just came from. When I get back home, just when I'm ready to come here, I have emergency call, and I go to their place, and they go from Deering Land to Kotzebue and then come up. Because they call me to attend the Health AIDS 2 meeting in Fairbanks, Tananah Chief Association. And I, right then when I just got in, I start working for 2 days.
Do you ever stop working?
Never stop working.
Never?
Even the people always wait for me when they knew me that I'm coming home from where I travel. This last time, they even wait for me at the terminal. Sit around at home waiting for me. never have my even coffee.
Della Keats. No, she never stops working. She told me that not long ago she had to go to the hospital, not because her illness was so serious, but because she couldn't get enough rest at home. There were too many emergencies, phone calls, and people needing her help. For Chinook Profiles, I'm Paula Schiller, and Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaska Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Profiles. I'm Paula Schiller. Patricia Bulett is a dance teacher. As part of the Artists in the Schools program, she has traveled to many bush schools teaching dance and movement. She's just completed her third tour, which took her to villages in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. What does a dance teacher say when she walks into a village school for the first time?
I tell them my name, and I tell them that I'm visiting from California, and that I'm here to teach dance and movement with them. And they're always interested in what kind of dance.
I was going to ask, because they think of dance as the Eskimo dancing that they're used to, or do they think of it as disco?
They think of it as disco, as some kind of fancy dancing or something, you know. This year, more than the other 2 years, I think with the popularity of disco, suddenly I became the disco lady. Whereas in the other years, it's just been, oh, the dancing lady is here. So,
what kind of things then do you teach?
Well, I do a lot of different things with the students. One thing that I'm real interested in is having the students feel good about themselves and having them find a way to express who they are through dance and movement. And
that seems very difficult to teach on a short tour.
Well, it seems to come through. I think because I teach improvisational dance and more kinds of creative dance than, for instance, a strict form like ballet, it allows a child to be who they are and have, well, I don't know, kind of express their feelings of who they are that day and their mood and have some interaction between each other in the kinds of exercises that I do, rather than like pointing your toe and coming across the floor in a certain pattern of movement. I bring costumes and we make stories up and we dance the story. So a lot of what I'm doing is providing some vehicles for expression, but the children and I very much work together in deciding what that is going to be. So a lot of time it's exploring with the kids and trying to find a handle into their imaginations. Or I'm real concerned with the very young children having a sense of their bodies and body awareness kinds of exercises. Because of the disco fever, while I was in Emonic, I made up a disco line dance, the Saturday Night Fever. And I'd be walking down the snow and I'd see kids practicing it outside. And it would just make quite an impact, you know.
Are they predisposed at all to that kind of thing from their cultural background, watching Eskimo dancing? Do they relate the dancing that they're doing with you to the...
I don't think so. Not too much. Sometimes when I do a certain movement, like when I do knee bends or... perhaps a style of movement that's similar to Eskimo dance, they'll verbally make comment, oh, this is just like Eskimo dance. It doesn't seem that it comes from them as much as I would like it to talk about Eskimo dance or say, gee, this reminds me of Eskimo dance, or how is this different, or anything like that. I personally have an investment in trying to learn some of the Eskimo dances when I'm in the villages, and to take some of those movements and blend them into the classes that I do. And in Nome last year, we worked on some, well, kind of a variation on an Eskimo dance, and we put it to Stevie Wonder. And all the movements in it were very much an Eskimo style of movement, and by that I mean non-locomotor, and the rhythm was in the arms and in the knee bends. And I explored with the students that sometimes there's a collective storytelling that happens and people decide what each motion is going to mean, and everybody knows what that dance is then about. And so with each class we made up different stories to the same motions. It was real interesting to see what the kids came up with and how that can vary, and how they just started to shine as soon as they found out I was interested in their own cultural dance that perhaps they thought belonged to the old ways.
That it may not be as old as they think it is?
Yeah, well, or that it still has a place in today's society as a dance form and as something that's okay, and maybe someone outside of the village even thinks that it's neat, you know. And like children anywhere, you know, they're concerned about being liked and the peer pressure of doing something neat. All that sort of thing, particularly the teenagers.
You teach children as a artist in the school's program here. Do you also teach in the lower 48?
Yes. I work in a school in Berkeley that's a private school, an alternative school, and it's kindergarten through sixth grade. And I'm thinking about any differences that come to mind. One thing in general that comes to mind is, I guess traditionally in the lower 48, girls are more interested in dance and somehow feel more culturally comfortable with their bodies and expressing themselves through body movement than boys are. Whereas in a lot of the villages, the girls are much more inhibited than the boys are. and need more coaxing that it's okay and to try this and to be expressive. And in watching Eskimo dance, it's very obvious that the quality of movement that men do is very different than the quality of movement that women do, and perhaps some of the cultural traditions of men and women's roles in the villages.
How would you describe that quality of difference?
In movement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of the women's movements are softer, more flowing, less aggressive, less quick energy. There's an emotional quality to that that's quieter and perhaps stereotypically female. Whereas the men's movements, both facial expressions and body movements, are a quicker, more overt kind of expression. And the women do mirror the men's movements as a leader-follower kind of thing, I say. The women seem to enjoy the dance as much as the men do. I think that's equal. But some of the gestures that get carried into movement with the children, a lot of the girls sort of walk around with their shoulders up and not really sure that it's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy seeing them unfold during the 2 weeks, and it's quite remarkable what can be accomplished in 2 weeks.
And if you can do that with disco, well and good?
Sure. Sure.
Some people would say that you're going in there and maybe diluting what is already a resource that's dwindling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I certainly hope I'm not. I'd like to think that I'm complementing it with whatever today's cultural dances are outside of that village's culture. I think it's valuable to learn about another culture through its dance. And any way that I can help preserve the native dance that's going on, I certainly try to.
A question that I was thinking, besides the sharing of the culture and just the good feeling that you get from dancing, what else can the Eskimo dancing teach another dancer?
Gee, that's a good question. I think, well, it's real interesting to me to see the quality of movement and this, what a dance is. Does that make sense? That not sounds kind of abstract
to
me.
Yeah, it does to me, too.
Gee, that's a really hard one to put into words somehow. It's stumping me. I just think about learning about those, learning about the Eskimo people through their dance. Doesn't really say it either.
Are the movements just quite different at all from other kinds of dance?
It's very different than any dance I've ever seen.
So you'd have to learn how to use different muscles and different ways of moving your arms and legs?
Yeah. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. It's you know, one of the most striking things in the beginning was, gee, this dance doesn't move through space. It's non-locomotor. I wonder what that says about where the dance happened years ago. And it made me wonder, well, what did the dance serve as what functions did it hold in the society of long ago? And the different arm movements, the gestures, introduce a new vocabulary to me, and the rhythms and the dance structure. You know, does it repeat itself emotionally? All of that is fascinating to me. But I think it's the vocabulary and sort of the wondering of the history of the dance and just men and women's innate drive to somehow dance, and what ritual is in society, and all that sort of thing goes along with. Choreographically, it's been interesting to me to try and learn some of the movements and gestures, and then as an improvisational dancer to to play around with that vocabulary and see how it fits for me and some of the themes that perhaps I might be exploring.
I was going to ask if you found some of the Eskimo movements winding up into some of your...
Yes, I have. I have. One of the things that I did this time in my concert was a mask dance. And the mask is a copy of a picture of an old Eskimo mask from the lower Kuskokwim River area. And as a performer in front of an Eskimo audience, I feel I have a responsibility not only to share with them what my dance is about, but if through my art of dance, find some images that perhaps are lost to them in their everyday life that once were there, simply because they're in the museums of the lower 48, and perhaps the craft of mask making isn't around any longer. And to bring that to life again seems to be a responsibility I have. And if by being a performer and using some of those images I can restore some of those memories or encourage mask making or whatever, that's real exciting to me. In the dance movement of that particular piece, I try to bring in some of the Eskimo qualities of movement and phrases that I've gotten. And sometimes I feel, gee, I wonder what the audience feels when I'm doing that. Is it appropriate for me to use that in my dance? And I think really deep down I feel okay about that. I feel that movement is universal, and because an older woman shared that with me, or I saw it in an Eskimo dance or whatever, and it happens to fit right for me, feels okay. And I've never been met with a hostile attitude by the people with regards to perhaps appearing to be imitating some of the Eskimo movements. I've always been met with, gee, you did that? That looks just like our dance. Or, that's really neat that you did that. And that makes me feel good. Yeah, I remember those mass dances. Pretty soon they're unraveling all the stories, and that's neat. I feel like I have an impact, and there's a nice relationship there.
Good. Thank you very much, Patricia.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Patricia Bulett, dancer and dance teacher. For Chinook Profiles, I'm Paula Schiller. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.